Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. As many of you know, one of our longtime parishioners had a stroke a week and a half ago, Derek Steele. That night, in a state of shock in the emergency room, his wife Edna said, "Nothing will be the same." It is true. Nothing will ever be the same in life as one moment turns into another, one event shapes another. Each of us has unexpected moments that shake us up, turn things upside down. And when the unexpected is a tragedy of some sort, whether a stroke, loss of a job, loved one, being taken to court, dealing with difficult health, relationship, or family issues, the end result will often include some form of suffering, mental, physical, emotional. Thus, suffering is a consequence of the amazing journey of being human in a most unpredictable world, with an unpredictable body, and unpredictable events and people always engaging us. Suffering cannot be avoided. Suffering, in the Dictionary of Pastoral Care and Counseling, discusses human suffering under four aspects: loss, injustice and oppression, self-hatred and guilt, and physical pain. This word suffering is mentioned in every one of our readings today. In the reading from Exodus, Moses is in front of a bush that will not burn, and hears a voice from the bush saying, "I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their suffering. I have come." The voice Moses heard was the voice of God, and the voice of God spoke through Paul in his letter to the Romans saying, "Be patient in suffering." And the voice of God spoke in Jesus, who knew that he would undergo great suffering. Yet he went toward Jerusalem anyway. So the voice of God continues to speak even today. God speaks in ways we least expect, often through what someone else happens to say to us. It breaks through. It is something we needed to hear. In fact, one simple comment can change our perspective. So I believe God inspired a friend of Edna Steele to say something that has given Edna a new hope and patience in her emotional suffering as she supports Derek's recovery. Her friend said, "Edna, how do you eat an elephant?" And this friend answered her own question for Edna by saying, "You can eat an elephant if you take one bite at a time." That has meant much to Edna. She has repeated it many times. So when I heard this from Edna, that to eat an elephant, you can do it one bite at a time, I felt inspired to add a comment. I would think some bites of an elephant would be more gristly than others, tougher, harder to chew on. Edna replied that she agreed, and that her friend had already had a suggestion for the tougher bites. With the tough bites, she said, maybe you have a glass of wine and a good cry. When I heard that, I realized that, in fact, Jesus did both. He cried and he drank wine. If you recall during the readings of Holy Week, we hear of how Jesus suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. He mentally suffered from the realization that he was about to be arrested, tortured, and crucified on a cross. He fell down and cried. He cried so hard, Scripture says, that his tears became blood. Each one of you, I imagine, have had moments of crying where you think it's the only vehicle for your pain. It is important to realize that God became flesh, one of us, through Jesus Christ, and knows suffering. Jesus cried. For Jesus, later that night, in the midst of his emotional pain, Jesus drank wine. It was his last supper with his friends. He took a cup of wine, and before he drank it and passed it on, he said, "From now on, do this in remembrance of me." He did not want to be alone or forgotten, just like the rest of us. But Jesus used wine to become the way, from then on, for his friends and for all of us to engage his real presence. And he did the same with bread, making it a new way to receive spiritual life through him. Jesus came on earth, lived a certain way, and suffered for it. Sometimes we do certain things because we think it is the right thing to do. Theologian Dick Donovan writes, "John Fling, a man from Columbia, South Carolina, wore a cap that said, 'I love to tell the story.' Well, there is a song entitled, 'I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love.' But John Fling didn't so much tell the story as he lives it. He lived the story of Jesus' love by delivering groceries to the blind, medicine to the sick, money to the needy, and food for the hungry. And John Fling was not a rich man. He made his living driving a truck. But he could usually find something to help someone else in need. He was asked, 'John, why do you do it?' John replied, 'Why do I do it? I don't know why. I guess it's just the responsibility I feel that I have. Christ says, pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't say how far it was expected to be carried. He didn't even say what description it would come in. Jesus said, if you want to become my follower, take them, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.' I will be honest, that sentence is a tough one to swallow. But John Fling's simple example of doing whatever he can do to help another person helps make it manageable, one bite at a time. For instance, in the first phrase, if you want to become my followers, the word become is key. Become means to change or grow, to develop or progress. In other words, Jesus is inviting a spiritual transformation, to live life with a different set of values, not just the standard human competitive stuff we face each day. The second phrase, let them deny themselves, to me means letting go of self-centered behavior and striving for selflessness, to live the descriptions of genuine love found in that reading from Romans. And the last phrase, take up your cross and follow me. Take it up. What you have to deal with, and also reach out to others. Being a Christian requires a reorientation to life and your purpose for being here. If we truly become followers of Jesus, then we are invited to be no less vulnerable with, toward, and for others. But after saying all this, what amazes me is that there were disciples who continued to follow Jesus. They did not say, "No way, that is ridiculously too difficult," and abandon him. So I propose that what kept the disciples following Jesus was Jesus. It's important to keep in mind at this point in the gospel story that Jesus had not died yet and had not risen. So what they encountered was a Jesus of such love and acceptance, such a presence of God, that they trusted him. They allowed Jesus to transform them and make them disciples. Are you willing to be transformed? That is the heart of the message today. For us to have the ability to take up our cross, our challenges, our pains, and our suffering, and not wilt, we will need to encounter Jesus. We need to trust him when he said, "I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth." And God said that to Moses, "I will be with you." We need to receive the strength of Jesus as he offers himself to us in Holy Communion through bread and wine and through the actions of our love. So there is a cost to discipleship. And when it is tough, when we think it is too much to bear, we need to remember that the voice of God echoes from a burning bush. "I know their suffering." Therefore, my prayer in a moment of suffering has become, "I know that you know." We do not have to invent artificial crosses. We need only to be fully the human beings God has created us to be. And being human will have its own crosses, like aging, being truthful, being compassionate, loving, serving, forgiving, growing, and relating to one another. Yes, nothing will ever stay the same in life as one moment turns into another, one event shapes another. But within today's gospel message is a secret about suffering and life. We can surrender to a divine perspective. Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." And at every worship service, we surrender to a divine perspective when we say the Lord's Prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So how do we live this challenging gospel message? It will be like eating an elephant, one bite at a time. Amen.